Welcome to the America Magazine podcast. America Magazine is the national Catholic weekly. Visit us online at www.americamagazine.org.
Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast for the week of May 16th. This is our annual Jesuit education issue, and as part of that, Kevin Clark has an article in the current issue about a new form of Jesuit education that looks back to the society's earliest days.
Eloquentia Perfecta is a venerable Jesuit tradition being rediscovered by a new generation of students at New York's Fordham University. We spoke with Jesuit Father Robert Grimes, Dean of Students at Fordham College at Lincoln Center.
For our listeners who are not familiar with that term, could you maybe briefly tell us what Eloquentia Perfecta means?
Eloquentia Perfecta has, you could translate it literally as perfect eloquence. But it has a long-standing tradition in Jesuit education. It's a phrase that comes out of the Ratio Studiorum, which was the book that was devised, the manual that was devised for running Jesuit schools that was published in the 1590s. And eloquentia perfecta is generally translated as right reason expressed effectively, responsibly, and gracefully. And so there are really three components to eloquentia perfecta. The first of all is that you're thinking right, the right use of reason. The second one is being able to express your thoughts into words. And the third one is to do it gracefully, that is, to do it in a way that people want to listen to what you have to say. And those are the three components that really go into eloquentia perfecta.
Now, Fordham has, is it fair to say, reintroduced this notion, or has it always been something in the background and that you're trying to reemphasize now? What happened in the last 2 years with the eloquentia perfecta?
It's a phrase that had fallen out of use. I don't think the notion, the ideas behind eloquentia perfecta had fallen out of use. But we were developing a new core curriculum starting about 3 or 4 years ago. And we were trying to figure out ways to think about the curriculum in a different fashion. And one of the ways that we were talking about doing that was, instead of putting our entire core curriculum very early in a student's time at Fordham, rather to spread it out over all 4 years. And it came up with the idea of eloquentia perfecta seminars, which were seminars that dealt with right thinking, that dealt with correct writing, and that dealt with graceful writing. The Core Curriculum Development Committee came up with the idea of having students do 4 eloquentia perfecta seminars over the course of their 4 years. So that these were skills that you learned, but you went back to as you progressed through your college education. So it was not something that you mastered in freshman year, and then that was done, and you could check off that box. For example, Eloquentia Perfecta 3, which is normally taken in junior year, is very often going to be taken by a student in their major. And so now they're going to have a course that's concerned about writing and speaking and logic in their major area. The Eloquentia Perfecta 4 is generally taken in senior year, and this really tries to serve as a capstone course. But now, as one is completing one's college education, you go back to those fundamentals once again, and right thinking, the expression in writing or speaking, and doing so gracefully.
Students say they notice a difference.
I know in my EP seminar, it was first semester, we had a history course, but we were encouraged not to just focus on the dates and the facts, but rather thinking about bringing all types of research into our course and then being able to write and speak about it in an eloquent manner, just making you more well-rounded.
At Fordham College Lincoln Center, all freshmen take their eloquentia, their first eloquentia perfecta, in their first semester. And that can be in any number of courses. It might be in the freshman philosophy course, philosophy of human nature. It might be in a freshman history course, understanding historical change. It might be introduction to sociology or anthropology. So it can come from a wide range of courses. Eloquentia Perfecta 2 at Fordham College and Lincoln Center is normally taken in the second semester of freshman year. And that is the only one that is a particular course. And it's an English course called Text and Context. But even though there's one title for the course, and there are many sections of it, because it's capped at 20 students, even though there's one common name for it, each professor brings their own particular content to the course. So there's a subtitle for each course, Text and Context Shakespeare, Text and Context American Literature, or something like that.
Okay, so there's a whole variation of different areas of study for the students to tackle.
Correct.
Now you said they're capped at 20 students. Now that's a pretty small class size, or is that a significant cost to the university?
It is a significant cost to the university when you have small class sizes. But Fordham College and Lincoln Center, our average class size is about 21. Mm-hmm. So this is just slightly below the norm. But because these are required courses, there'd be a tendency for students to jump into the more popular sections or the more popular times. And so there really is, you can't just trust that the averages will work out. Mm-hmm. So we keep the cap at 20 on that.
Then the idea there is you don't, because it's more intense, you want to keep the class size no larger than 20.
Well, you want to keep it small because the professor is going to have to be working with the students one-on-one with writing. There are going to be speaking assignments in class in addition to the material that needs to be covered in the course. So, for example, if it is introduction to sociology, you have to cover everything that would be in an introduction to sociology course in addition to the special concentration on writing, on logic, and on graceful eloquence.
Now, getting back to the origins for reintroducing eloquentia perfecta, or as the kids say, EP, I hear,
yes.
Occasionally.
Changed. I suspect in a year or two, no students would really know what EP stands for.
Yeah. Do you? What were you seeing? Were you, as an educator, concerned that young people were coming of age in our culture now without these key capabilities, the ability to speak clearly, think clearly, write clearly? Is that something you see as perhaps being lost to Game Boy and cable TV and what have you?
I'm not so sure it's all that different from my own generation. Mm-hmm. And these are skills that you just really have to learn, and you learn them by doing them. Mm-hmm. I think it's really the only way for it to happen. You become a writer by writing, and you learn how to write by writing. And the more you do it, hopefully the better you get.
I think it is important to be able to not just sit there and listen to the professor lecture you and then take notes, because then you're not really... I sort of tune that out. But I know with the case of my Faith and Critical Reason class and my Text and Context class now, I'm more prone to speak up in class if I have... because the discussion is facilitated. And I remember in my Faith and Critical Reason class that there was like an oral presentation that we would do in groups like every 2 weeks, so it was really important, he hardly stood at the podium and just spoke to us. Like, it was a lot of just talking and having that discussion, and I felt more like a mature student that could like take responsibility for my own education because I was able to contribute and I knew that other people were contributing.
Do you think this is something that should be happening earlier with students? I mean, is it preferable to be doing it now, or do you think it would be better if high schools would even consider an eloquentia perfecta approach to learning?
You know, I think it varies a great deal from school to school. I think some of our students come to us very well prepared as writers and as logical thinkers, and other students come with the need to really catch up to their peers. So I think it varies from high school exactly what they're getting.
Do the students, are they aware? I mean, when I talked to some of the students earlier, I think one of them said, well, I knew it was an EP class because it was harder and there was more work. Are they aware of what you're trying to achieve here? And how do they, what is their attitude towards these seminars?
I think it's been, we're really only in the second year of these, so it's hard to really judge over the long haul. With any core curriculum, most people hate the core curriculum while they do it, and then they fall in love with it 10 years later at alumni reunions.
Yeah.
And go on how much better the core was when we were there. Uh-huh. It'll be interesting to see as this develops and as they go through the whole sequence of courses, whether they really feel that it has changed the way they write, the way they think, the way they speak. We do a survey towards the end of first semester, and we definitely did get a response from students that they felt that their writing had improved. They felt more prepared to speak in class. They felt more prepared to read assignments to be ready to go into class. So we've been getting positive feedback in general from students. On the other hand, you introduce them to the term of eloquentia perfecta during freshman orientation when they're being bombarded by so much information that very little of it is retained. So I wouldn't be surprised if you found some students and you asked them, freshmen, and said, how is your eloquentia perfecta seminar? They would say, my what?
So the survey is one way to measure success. How ultimately do you hope to measure the success? I mean, how will you know if this is going to be a long-term commitment of the university or just a short-term experiment?
Any curriculum is always a relatively short-term experiment. You know, 10 years for a core curriculum is a long period of time. We are in the process right now of trying to develop assessment techniques for the Eloquentia Perfecta seminars. So what we did on this campus was we asked all the freshmen in Eloquentia Perfecta 1 last semester, at the end of the semester, to submit to us what they thought was their best piece of writing in the course. Now these students are all in Eloquentia Perfecta 2, and at the end of the semester we're going to ask them to submit what they thought the best piece of writing was in this particular course. And then we have a faculty group that has been developing norms, if you will, or rubrics, I think they call them in the assessment lingo, for comparing these two essays and to try to see if there really has been improvement in it. I haven't seen what the rubrics that the faculty have developed.
That seems very difficult. You're trying to develop objective analysis tools to say, oh, there's a gradation of improvement here in their performance.
That's right.
Wow. Well, that seems deeply challenging. The students, are they going to see, you call this core, the university's core, is this something that's going to influence the way the other classes are taught or the way the other teachers perform? What influence do you think this is going to have on the rest of the university?
Well, I think any core curriculum has an influence on the rest of the curriculum. I knew when I was teaching full-time, I was doing so under a completely different core. But, for example, I knew what they studied in philosophy of human nature. I knew that they had all read Plato, and so Plato was something that I could refer to, I could use, and they didn't look at you like you were crazy if the topic came up at the class. So that's one element. But here, of course, we're talking about skills, and we're hoping that we do indeed see that they are bringing these writing skills into their other courses. They're bringing these critical thinking skills into other courses, and that they're bringing their ability to express themselves orally into their other courses. How are we going to measure that is yet to be seen, but we certainly hope that these are skills that will be operative across the curriculum.
I would say that most people know what EP stands for, but most, including myself, don't really know what that means. I just noticed that my classes, the EP classes I've taken, there's like more work.
I want to thank you again for joining us for this week's podcast. And again, thank Kevin Clark, who conducted those interviews with first Father Robert Grimes of Fordham University, and then three students, Jamie Yukanevich, Patrick Dooley, and finally, Graham Smith. A reminder, you can respond to our podcast by going to americamagazine.podbean.com. This is Tim Brady for America Magazine.